Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Hi, friends. Jason Scott here, CEO of JCS Marketing. I want to personally invite you to My Ag Night on November 2nd. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, it's Jesse Waters from Fox News Channel. Hope to see you at My Ag Night on November 2nd. It's going to be a night you will not want to miss.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is highlighting California's Delta. The Delta was formed by the Sacramento and San Joaquin Rivers and supports more than 750 species of plants, including agriculture and wildlife, as well as more than 55 species of fish. The Delta hosts more than 12 million visitors each year. According to a report prepared for the Delta Protection Commission, more than 70 crops are harvested from 415,000 farmed acres in the Delta, including wine grapes, almonds, asparagus, corn, alfalfa, and rice. Speaking of rice, CDFA's Healthy Soils Program is introducing a new eligible practice for grant funding in the demonstration projects category, taking land in the Delta previously used for non-rice annual crops and resaturating it for rice cultivation with the purpose of reducing organic matter oxidation and decreasing greenhouse gas emissions. To learn more, visit the CDFA website. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is accepting proposals for the 2023 Specialty Crop Multi-State Program. This is a federal grant program offered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Marketing Service. The purpose of the program is to competitively award funds to projects that enhance the competitiveness of specialty crops by funding collaborative multi-state projects that address regional or national level specialty crop issues, including food safety, plant pests and disease, research, crop-specific projects addressing common issues, and marketing and promotion. Specialty crops include fruits and vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture, and nursery crops, including floriculture. All prospective applicants are encouraged to review the 2023 request for applications, which is available on the ams.usda.gov website. Additional information about the grant program, including application instructions and templates, are available on the CDFA website. Grant awards will range from $250,000 to $1 million per project, and projects may last up to 3 years. Specialty Crop Producer Association and groups, other state agencies, tribal government entities, universities, nonprofits, and other stakeholder groups and organizations are eligible to apply. All proposals must include at least two partners, referred to as multi-state partners, with substantive involvement in a project, and the multi-state partners must be located in two different states to qualify for the program. The deadline to submit proposals is at 1:59 p.m. Pacific Time on December 22nd. Proposals must be submitted electronically to grants@cdfa.ca.gov. CDFA will conduct a webinar on October 25th at 10 a.m. featuring an overview of the proposal application. There is no cost to attend. However, space is limited and CDFA requests that attendees register in advance. For more information, contact CDFA. Agricultural groups have come together to send a letter to the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries in unified opposition to Representative Victoria Spartz's anti-checkoff amendment. Of the organizations included is the Almond Alliance. Almond CEO and President Aubrey Betancourt says in an era where cultivating relationships between consumers and producers is paramount, the Spartz amendment jeopardizes the very essence of what checkoff programs aim to achieve. She says these programs, rooted in transparency and backed by the commitment of dedicated producers, have fostered innovation, expanded markets, and amplified consumer education. By challenging the essential framework of commodity checkoffs, they risk not only the immediate benefits they offer, but also the long-term growth and understanding of agricultural communities. Betancourt adds that the Almond Alliance stands united with their partners in opposing any measure that hinders the progress and welfare of U.S. agriculture producers and is urging a no vote on the Spartz Amendment. The U.S. Department of Labor, Wage, and Hour Division investigators have determined that Heritage Farms provided substandard housing facilities, transported workers in unsafe vehicles, and failed to pay required wages in full, which are all violations of the H-2A Temporary Agricultural Program. Investigators found the housing provided by Heritage Farms did not meet safety and health requirements. Specifically, they found mattresses without bed frames on floors. Investigators also learned that the employer failed to pay three drivers for time spent transporting H-2A workers to and from the fields, which led to unpaid overtime hours. The division also found the employer permitted the workers to be transported in unsafe vehicles with damaged tires and cracked windshields. In addition, investigators learned the employer charged workers for laundry costs, which are legal deductions by the law. Back wages recovered are $14,311 and unpaid wages for 42 employees. $17,791 will be charged in civil money penalties. Employers participating in the H-2A guest worker program must make sure that the housing they provide is safe and sanitary. Vehicles used to transport workers are safe and workers are paid correctly for all hours they work, according to Wage and Hour Division Assistant District Director Jose Medina. He says they are committed to making certain industry employers fulfill their legal responsibilities. Heritage Farms grows and sells spinach and spring mix in Imperial County and has additional fields in King City, Salinas, and also in Nevada. The employer supplies the produce to Taylor Farms, Dole Organic Grow, and State Garden. A new study out of San Diego State University shows that eating strawberries may help improve brain function as well as lower blood pressure and increase antioxidant capacity in older adults. The study looked at a small group of 35 healthy men and women aged 66 to 78. Participants consumed 26 grams of freeze-dried strawberry powder equivalent to 2 1-cup servings of strawberries daily or a control powder for 8 weeks each. Researchers then measured cognition markers, blood pressure, waist circumference, and more. The latest study builds on previous research demonstrating the cardiovascular, metabolic, and cognitive health benefits of strawberries. In addition to providing 100% of the daily vitamin C needs, strawberries contain heart-healthy nutrients like folate, potassium, fiber, phytosterols, and polyphenols. Persimmons out of California's Central Valley will see a slightly later start to the season. There will be small amounts of harvesting of persimmons starting around October 9th. They're about 5 to 7 days behind a typical start because of the weather. It's been this way with many commodities in the Central Valley. They've all been behind a little bit, according to Aaron Galarte of Fresh Farms. Galarte says the crop is a good one this year with great size, strong quality fruit. The volume looks to be comparable to last year, and the company will harvest into the early to middle part of December. Fresh Farms grows both kinds of persimmons, Hachia persimmons, which are used more for baking or cooking purposes, as well as Fuyas, which are more the eating variety of the fruit. Fuya demand is increasing every year, so there's growing production on that variety, while Hachia acreage is not increasing because the demand is more stable, he says. He thinks that overall, the strong quality of this year's crop will help to fuel current demand. While exact pricing is yet to be determined, Galarte says the tendency is there to be slightly higher pricing this year due to the increased cost of production.
California citrus growers faced significant pest challenges this season due to the unprecedented rainfall from atmospheric rivers. The unusual weather pattern disrupted typical citrus thrips timing in orchards and led to uncontrollable conditions in the field. Reports from the California Citrus Mutual Pest and Disease Task Force indicate that some growers have experienced exterior fruit scarring on as much as 80% of the fruit on individual blocks, primarily affecting navels, but with varying impacts to mandarins, lemons, and other citrus varieties. CCM President Casey Creamer elaborates.
Citrus thrips is something we deal with every year, but for the most part, it's controllable. It leads to a little bit of exterior damage on the fruit, but that unprecedented water that came through, the sheer amount and the timing of it, then it pushed back bloom periods a little bit, and then also it kept the thrips kind of overwintering in the foothills. And then bloom period came, we weren't able to spray as much or anything. We have strict protocols in place for protection of bees, and just became that the number of thrips that overwintered and the timing of it, we just were not able to control it at all. Growers were, constantly spraying, just to get 2 to 3 days of control. That's not a good situation to be in from a cost standpoint at all. And so growers were battling it like crazy earlier this year. And since then, what we've been when trying to do is really assess the crop. What's out there on the tree today? We just had the estimates come from CDFA, at least for navels. And some estimates for mandarins, and what's on the tree, and then of that, what's on the tree, what is going to make it into the marketplace, what's going to be discarded as unmarketable, and what's the percentage of fancy versus choice we're going to have available in the marketplace this year. So once you're trying to understand the crop and where we are, and then we still truly don't. Won't know exactly where we're at with this situation until a lot of it gets to the packing house, and we've got packing houses got sensors and cameras and everything else to get rid of sort through the fruit and really understand how the industry was impacted.
Visual effects from thrips have no effect on the interior fruit quality, taste, or texture. Consumers can still expect the same eating experience they're used to with California citrus, with higher volumes of choice fruit. Fancy fruit with minimal external scarring or damage will be a premium commodity this season, according to CCM.
First and foremost, there's going to be less supply than what would normally be, right? So growers are going to take that hit, unfortunately. But the worst of the worst is not going to make it into the marketplace. So less supply than normal. And then two, of the supply that is on the market, there still will be high standards in grading, but there'll be more what we call a choice grade versus a fancy grade. It has nothing, there's no difference in the interior quality of the fruit at all. It just may have a few more blemishes on the outside. And so depending on where you shop, you might see a little bit more of that, but still great quality fruit, just may have a minor exterior issue.
This uptick in damage for the industry is going to warrant additional conversations between growers and packers about extent of damage in individual groves and across the industry. And Creamer stressed it is of utmost importance for those conversations to be taking place.
There currently is no disaster assistance approved for growers for 2023, and no Congress just passed the funding stopgap, and there's some disaster relief for the situations like in Hawaii and some other more FEMA-related emergency management, not necessarily agricultural disaster relief. And so we're trying to get some pretty good estimates within agriculture, so growers need to report the damages that they have in their fields, either from the flooding that occurred throughout the industry or from the crop damage. So getting those numbers reported, I would say strongly encourage you to report it to your county ag commissioner, and then secondarily to your organizations like Citrus Mutual. We can make sure it gets to the county as well. But there's got to be really good reporting on what's out there, because if there's not good reporting, the relief will not follow, right? So we have to get numbers out there. Even if you think it's minor, go ahead and report it. Those estimates will help us. Secondly, internally within the industry, your packing house needs to have an honest assessment of what is in your field. Especially in situations where you have significant thrip damage in certain blocks. And so, if there's minor thrip damage, the answer is pretty easy. It's going to go through the packing house. There's going to be a higher price return for fancy fruit, less for choice, but that fancy fruit needs to get onto the marketplace. If there are situations in question where you've got significant thrip damage and you're saying, well, am I going to make any money off this block that I have? You really need to understand, one, what's this extent of your damage? Have those conversations with your packing house, and then figure out with your crop insurance agent too, right? So what's my coverage? What's my cost if I have this harvested and sent through the packing house? That's added cost to the grower, right? Versus what could I get in a return by just calling this unmarketable and just similar to frost years and dropping it to the ground. And so grower by grower, field by field, you need to have that understanding of what's in your, don't just send it through the packing house, tell them it's all good, and then at the end of the year, you get a bill versus a check at the end of the day. So that's, those are the conversations we are encouraging growers to have, they need to have, so they can make the individual decisions that are best for them. So that allows the industry to, well, one, the packing house to market that individual grower's fruit for the best possible return. And then allows the industry to market the crop overall. You know, knowing how much we've got on the tree really helps marketers figure out, you know, how much supply and how much, you know, they can push pricing up for the growers. So strong industry communication is absolutely important as we work through this crop year.
Creamer said CCM is currently on the front lines looking for relief from the thrips damage. The first and most pressing is a request for USDA to purchase the choice grade fruit damaged by thrips for mainly shelter programs. On the back end, CCM is working with a large contingent of ag groups across the industry to estimate the damage and get those numbers to Congress to lobby for additional funding to growers. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
When it comes to the ag economy, farmers are not feeling real optimistic. That according to the latest survey results from the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer.
Thanks for joining us for the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer August 2023 survey results. I'm Jim Minter, Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and I'm going to share with you the highlights of this month's survey. The Ag Economy Barometer Index fell 8 points compared to last month. That was 2 points below a year earlier, but 23 points below 2 years ago. The Current Condition Index this month fell 13 points compared to last month, and that leaves it 8% lower than it was in July of 2022. The Future Expectations Index fell 5 points compared to July, but that was 2% higher than July 2022 index value. The Farm Financial Performance Index was down 1 point compared to last month's reading of 87. That index, though, is 13 points lower than it was a year ago and 24 points below 2 years ago. We continue to ask producers what their biggest concerns are for their farming operation in the upcoming year, and the top concern continues to be high input costs, followed by rising interest rates, and somewhat surprisingly, in third place was lower crop and/or livestock prices. The Farm Capital Investment Index was down 8 points compared to last month and down 2 points compared to a year ago at a reading of 37. One reason behind the decline in the Farm Capital Investment Index this month was that farmers continued to expect higher interest rates in the upcoming year. In this month's survey, 60% of the producers in the survey said they expect interest rates to rise over the next 12 months. That's down a little bit compared to last month when 65% of the respondents said they expected to see higher interest rates over the course of the next year. The short-term farmland value index was up 1 point compared to July, but was 2 points lower than a year ago. The long-term farmland index was unchanged compared to July, but it was up 5 points versus a year ago. Both the short and long-term indices continue to remain relatively strong, despite the fact producers say that they expect to see interest rates rise over the course of the next year. This month's survey included several questions focused on carbon contracts in row crop agriculture. In questions posed only to corn and soybean producers, we asked them what rates they were offered for carbon capture on their farms. And among those producers who said they'd had a conversation with a company about carbon capture, 47% said that they were offered a rate of $10 to $20 per metric ton, whereas 16% of producers in the survey said that they were offered a rate of $20 to $30 per metric ton. That wraps up the highlights for this month's survey. The full report is available on the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer website, which is available at purdue.edu/agbarometer. You can also get some more details on our podcast, Purdue Commercial AgCast, which is available on the Center's website at purdue.edu/commercialag. On behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm Jim Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
In a lawsuit filed last week, Corteva Agriscience has accused Inari Agriculture, a plant breeding technology company, of illegally obtaining hundreds of Corteva's biotech seeds, infringing upon Corteva's patent rights and violating its plant variety protection certificates. Specifically, the lawsuit alleges that Inari deliberately used a third-party agent to obtain protected Corteva seeds, illegally exported the seeds out of the United States, made slight genetic modifications of the biotech traits, and is pursuing U.S. patents for those modifications. Traits. Corteva is seeking damages to adequately compensate for Inari's alleged unlawful actions, as well as a permanent injunction against Inari prohibiting any future actions in violation of Corteva's intellectual property. In its complaint filed in a U.S. District Court for the District of Delaware, Corteva said that it learned in December 2022 that Inari, through an elaborate scheme aimed at concealing its actions, had obtained hundreds of varieties of protected seeds from seed deposits at the American Type Culture Collection, a nonprofit organization that collects, stores, and distributes biologic materials, including seeds, for research purposes only. New legislation was introduced in both chambers of Congress to give organic producers the tools they need to increase their capacity, reach new markets, and grow their businesses. The Organic Market Development Act would codify and increase support for a newly announced USDA program that aims to solve supply chain gaps for the organic market through grants to farmers and businesses as demand increases for organic products. In 2021, U.S. sales of organic food products reached $52 billion, nearly doubling the sales done in 2010. Senate bill sponsored Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, says the legislation will build on the success of the Organic Market Development Grant Program and allow more producers to access these resources and tools to grow America's agriculture economy. The legislation builds on the initial $75 million annual authorization by maintaining a base CCC investment and adds $25 million in appropriations for 2024 and each fiscal year thereafter. The Senate Agriculture Committee has held a hearing on foreign purchases and ownership of U.S. farmland and other farm-related businesses. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
Food security is national security.
Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow opening up a special hearing Wednesday to explore how foreign ownership of U.S. farmland and food-related companies might be a threat to national security, and if so, what to do about it. USDA Deputy Undersecretary Gloria Montano-Green told lawmakers many people believe USDA should just, for example, move in and tightly restrict foreign purchases of U.S. ag land. However,
our authority does not allow us to stop the selling of foreign land. We do not have authority to have a decision in foreign or domestic land purchases and leases.
USDA does have the job of tracking and disclosing land deals, but the system for doing that is a complex patchwork.
There are more than 3,000 county clerks and recorders' offices, or their equivalent, more than 50 state systems, and more than 500 sovereign tribal nations processing and tracking of land ownership and land transfer.
And it's still being done on paper. She said USDA is doing what it can to improve the system, but it needs more resources and people to do it. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Speaking of the USDA, they will begin issuing more than $1.75 billion in emergency relief payments to eligible farmers and livestock producers. These much-needed payments are helping farmers and ranchers recover following natural disasters in 2020, 2021, and 2022. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says these payments reflect the incredible and cumulative financial hits brought on by devastating natural disasters, which agricultural producers nationwide have endured while fulfilling their commitment to produce food, fiber, and fuel. For more information, see your local Farm Service Agency office.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.